you know, notwithstanding Michael's boredom about some of the stuff, what we're here to talk about is what makes it controversial. And actually, maybe sometimes the controversy, we talk about controversy as a problem, but actually sometimes the controversy can also be a useful and productive thing in relation to teaching and in any topic. So let's kind of move it on a little bit and just sort of talk a little bit then about what makes the topic controversial in general terms, and maybe in this particular moment that we're in 2021.
The college that I studied at Oxford has become at the forefront of this controversy about empire. I studied at Oriel College, where, of course, the infamous, notorious Cecil Rhodes statue adorns the front wall on the high street. And when I turned up there as an 18-year-old, I had no clue who Cecil Rhodes was. And I think this is something that is, we have to kind of define the parameters of the controversy that we're talking about, because there's a good chunk of the population in the UK that has no clue that this is a controversial issue, has no clue what Cecil Rhodes is about, what he was about, what this debate is about. And then there's a score of us that are incredibly engaged with this as a problem, and that it's, and within us, it's gone to extremes. And so I think, you know, my own story was indicative of that. I didn't really know as an 18-year-old. It was only over the course of my studies that I encountered characters like Cecil Rhodes while I was at university, second, third year. And then it really kicked off, not for me personally, but generally as a debate by the time I'd hit my PhD studies, when a younger generation of students and activists and more scholars, you know, got involved in what became the Rhodes Must Fall movement. And this was a global movement to grapple with the legacies of empire and slavery and colonialism and exploitation and racism. But what's interesting, I think, is that right now it feels very much that we are at a melting point, a tipping point, or however you want to phrase it, in this idea of a culture war. And I have issues with that phrase as well. I don't know, you know, again, it's a storm in a teacup sometimes, but it's also nevertheless a very important issue that we're facing at this time, that there is a growing demand. And I think it's a demand that's not going away for these histories and the impacts and legacies of empire to be acknowledged, to be delved into and treated more seriously, and to be publicly reckoned with in our curricula, in our museums, in our heritage, and in our politics. And then there are others that are very uncomfortable. They feel threatened by this. They see it as change. They see it as attacking their identity. And they see it as, particularly in Britain itself, an issue that we shouldn't have to even worry about necessarily. And how you grapple with that is interesting. And then the other worrying and quite difficult problem of this is that we are now in a political and a cultural climate where there is not as much respect or willing to engage with research-based, factual evidence. People choose to believe what they believe is their version of truth, and they will not engage, and they will dismiss and disregard things that do not cohere with their personal and emotional opinion. And I think that's what makes this debate even more volatile and charged than it perhaps has been at other points in time.
That's great. I mean, Michael, do you want to just come in on any on those or add to anything that
I mean, I think in terms of contemporary situation, Priya's just put it perfectly. I couldn't put it any better, really, in terms of the challenges and the difficulties. I mean, going back to the earlier point in terms of the history being so controversial, Jason, which is what you mentioned at the outset. And I think it's very helpful to think of that being a positive thing as well as a negative thing, because that gives us things to plan around, to engage students with in the classroom. But I think that is part of of what makes it so controversial, that people have always disagreed. This is not just a recent phenomenon, but people have always disagreed about any aspect of history. I can remember the differences became really apparent to me, I think, in the early 20th century, after, you'll remember, Niall Ferguson's series and book that many people took real exception to. And I can remember at the same time reading John Neusinger's book, The Blood Never Dried, and you couldn't get, you know, a greater polarity on the empire than those two books. But as you say, that can be a useful starting point. Competing interpretations of history can be a really useful starting point for engaging students in debate and discussion. And I think it's helpful, but also problematic too, that in terms of public history and museums, it's so contested and disputed. I can remember at the same time that Niall Ferguson wrote his book and produced his television series. You remember the Empire and Commonwealth Museum in Bristol called Empire and Us, I think. That lasted for a relatively short time, from 2002 till 2008, I think. The structure was very interesting. Broadly, the structure seemed to me to be very sensible. You know, there were three main galleries in terms of, well, actually the opening was just film of lots of people in contemporary Britain who had a link to Empire and hearing what they thought about it, which was great. I thought, really good way to begin. And then it kind of covered the rise of Empire in the early modern period, the height of Empire in the 19th century, and then the end of Empire. And my students were always kind of really shocked by the end of Empire displays, because the focus was on kind of film of washed up imperialists reminiscing about how difficult it was to manage their servants. And there was a whole display on Britain's contribution to worldwide forestry management. And my students expected to find that the anti-colonialism in that final section and the fight for independence, you know, and there was nothing of that at all. And so I think that the way in which kind of the empire is open to these competing interpretations makes it problematic, but also makes it very interesting, and that's at one level helpful for teaching. There has been a tendency, I think, in Britain generally, culturally and educationally, not to look history in the eye. And until we do that, I don't think we're going to progress as a nation. And some of that history is really uncomfortable. The underlying greed of empire and the racism that lay at its heart, the atrocities that were committed in the name of empire, and the ongoing trauma that has for many people, I think. And what really brought this home to me was Kay Traill's research. I think she completed her PhD in 2007 at the Institute of Education, and she wrote that extremely helpful and at the same time quite disturbing article in Teaching History on the way in which so many students of African Caribbean heritage in London schools not only kind of felt disconnected from the history they were learning about in the classroom when they were studying the transatlantic slave trade, but were angered by it. And that brought home to me really the sensitivities of teaching it. So I think the fact that for many people, in terms of their identity and background, it is so close, there isn't a disconnect between them and the history. It is part of their lives. I think that adds to the challenge and complexity of teaching it.
I mean, I think we've kind of got two questions. I mean, we started with what makes it controversial. And I think a lot of people, whether it's empire, Holocaust, or whatever, they often start with a question of the content. And most notably, that encounter with trauma and traumatic events and the impact that has on, you know, present day moral esteem or group identities and group images. But that also includes both the problems with both victim tags, but also perpetrator tags, and about, you know, some students feeling that they're being cast in one particular way and another group of students potentially feeling they're cast in another particular way. But I think Priya's thing is also to go beyond the what, to ask who makes that history controversial. I think actually opens up some really productive sort of lines in relation to thinking about the stances and the reactions of different agents involved in perceiving, transmitting, sanctioning controversial histories at official level or even on the teacher. And I think from a teacher's point of view, they got to also think about their own motivations and methods, which could be a central concern in terms of sort of tackling controversial issues, but then also thinking about their learners' reactions and their parents and their communities and how that might vary across different contexts and localities.